Hello, everyone, and here we are again online. And I think we're going to be here for quite some time, so let me give my own personal welcome to all of you gathered wherever you might be. And if you're a first-time guest, we're just glad that you joined us, and I think for all of us, we'll find this to be a meaningful time together. You can see that I'm wearing my Mr. Rogers sweater because research indicates that it had a calming effect on him and those who tuned in, and I think we could all use a little calm. Sometimes when we run into people, we ask the question of them, how are you getting along? How are you doing? And it's not uncommon to hear somebody say, well, I'm in a season. And you can kind of feel the weight of their response. When you think about the weather calendar, we have four seasons, but our own personal lives, we have dozens of seasons, some good and some bad, that there's an ebb and flow in life's rhythms. And so there's the seasons of mountains and valleys, the seasons of successes and failures, and the seasons of wins and losses. This is the reality of the ebb and flow of life. We're reminded in Ecclesiastes 3:1 that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. The great poet Tennyson spoke of the work of Ecclesiastes, saying it's the greatest poem ever written in ancient times or modern times. We believe it's Solomon who actually wrote the poem in Ecclesiastes, and he put 14 pairings together in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and some of them are quite familiar to you, that there's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to uproot. That there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. And you find these rhythmic patterns of life. And really, the writer here is reminding us of a couple of things, that we're in a season, but we're always in a season. And God has a role, and we have a role in the season. God's role is he's sovereign over the seasons. He knows all of the seasons. He knows what we don't know. And he's present with us in the season, whatever the season might be. And he has purposes for every season as well. And our role is clear. We don't get to choose the seasons, but we do get to choose how we live and how we lead in each of the seasons that we find ourselves. We're in a season. You know, we would love to have a different season, yesterday's season, or a wishful season before us, but this is our season. So how do we want to live in that and lead in that? That's the direction we want to go today. In fact, what I'd like to do is give us the opportunity to consider five good choices that we can make in this season. And I brought with me two of our pastors, Jill Fox, who oversees the Next Gen Ministry, Brian Suter, overseeing our adult ministry, but also a teaching pastor here at Westwood. I'm going to share a couple of good choices for us to make in the season that we're in. They'll each share one as well. We're going to come together at the end for a really meaningful guided prayer. And I'm hopeful that you'll stay with us from beginning to end and step into the experience of God meeting us as we wrap up at the end of the service in that time of prayer and asking him to come before us and to work in and through us. So let's get started. Look at the first good choice you can make in this season, which is to adjust expectations in a high expectation world. And we know this to be the case. We live in a high expectation world. We all have high expectations. And usually reality sets in here, but with the virus and the way it's spreading, our reality is way down here. We have this expectation here, and reality is down here. And if we don't pay attention and adjust those expectations, a couple of things can happen. First of all, we'll find ourselves disappointed with unmet expectations to the end that it could rob us of joy, and it could be really great strain on our personal relationships. But then also, we are at risk of seeing anxiety continuing to rise. When I teach on anxiety, I always speak about anxiety as being this heightened sense of concern and this diminished sense of control. And the reality is we're not in control, and we feel that right now. And we have this heightened sense of concern. This is the beauty of God in his presence and his promises when he says, cast all your cares and concerns upon him, because he begins to close that gap. He diminishes that anxiety that otherwise would just keep escalating. So we want to trust him in the middle of that. But you think about our expectations and how great they are in so many fronts. We have our expectations for just everyday life, and that is the freedom we have to move, to be able to go where we want to go, when we want to go there, and the ability to do what we want to do when we want to do it. But we're not in that season. We're in a season to slow and to know. That is, to slow down when we move too fast, because we tend to move too fast, and to know and be made known. We have a huge opportunity here to really deepen friendship and relationships with God and with each other, let's seize this opportunity to slow and then to know. Another expectation that is great for us relates to our government. We have a high expectation, and just about all of us have been left with great disappointment, especially when it comes to the testing kits of the virus. Here we are, one of the great powers of the world, and other nations are way ahead of us in the number of testing kits, and it confuses us. So we're left with this unmet expectation. I feel it personally. Our son had the flu a couple of weeks ago, went in to get tested, and he didn't fit the criteria to be tested. It left us frustrated. It left him disappointed as well, not knowing what he had. Fortunately, it was just the common flu. But we feel this tension. This isn't the season we're in. We have to adjust our expectations. We need to be in the season of patience and prayer, patience with each other, and yes, even patience with our government leaders. And we need to be in a place of prayer, yes, for each other, but also for our government leaders. You know, we have a mandate in Scripture to pray for those in authority over us. And by the way, they really need our prayers. We need to ask for God's wisdom to be theirs, to accelerate some kind of solution to where we're at. And then we have these great expectations in relation just to the everyday routines that we have, the routines of expectations in our work life and our home life. I think about this season, particularly for those that are having the opportunity for a prom or graduation experience or spring breaks or even sports, because after all, this is March Madness and breaks my heart. It's now March Sadness because I'm a basketball guy. I feel the weight and the disappointment of it, but I'm adjusting my expectations related to these everyday routines and what we expect in them, but also the big events of life. This past Friday night, I was to be officiating a wedding for dear friends of ours. And early in the week, I gave a call because I knew the reality is we won't be doing that wedding on Friday night. And to meet with that groom and that bride to help them navigate the dream of their lifetime, they had to adjust their expectations or it was going to be a miserable week. And so I encouraged them to lean into it, to put words to their feelings. They did. And I reminded them of this important truth that there is a piece that I can still come into play, because the sacred beauty of marriage is in the wedding vows, not in the wedding event. And I'm available. I will officiate your marriage. It just will be probably in a different place with different expectations surrounding it. And over that next 24 hours, they leaned into it. I'll be glad to tell you that we officiated that wedding. It took place not on Friday night, but on Friday afternoon. Not in the church, but in a park in South Minneapolis. Not with 200 people, but with the intimacy of just a handful of people. I'm telling you, I was so proud of that bride and groom to watch them navigate their personal disappointment, and then in the midst of it, to seize joy and to seize their marriage as God had intended, the sacred beauty of that moment. We had a blast, and they are going to have great stories to tell for a long time to come. Paul tells us in Ephesians 3:21 that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all we could think or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. Let me remind you that his power is at work in us in this season. Let's open our lives and posture our lives for that power to be at work. A second good choice that you can make in this season is to live intentionally in the midst of uncertainty. I've shared this with a few friends of mine, that I feel like I'm watching a horror film made in Hollywood, and then I realize I'm not watching it, I'm in it, I just don't feel like I'm in it. And you may have that same experience as well. No, the intentionality to embrace the reality of uncertainty is really important, because uncertainty is really rising for us and it leaves us unsettled. It comes with big questions like, when will everything turn back to normal? Can I just level the playing field on that one? Things will not turn back to normal. We're going to work through this. We will get through this. We always do. But it will not be the normal that we've been accustomed to. It will be a different world. And I pray and I think it's actually going to be a better world. Or I think about the question of who. It's a big question for us today. Who's carrying the virus? In fact, we could be carriers of it. And none of us want to innocently just bring harm to somebody because we don't realize that we're even carrying it, but it could happen. I was in a grocery store this last week and saw a good friend of mine here from Westwood standing at the deli counter. And so I approached him. He approached me. And as he approached me, he put out his hand and then suddenly went like this, realizing Got to keep our social distance. So we sought to do that. But we're meant to be together, especially in times of need. But the reality is we don't know who's the carrier. So we have to have intentionality as we step into this journey, because it's the intentionality that keeps us from being in a place where we could be at risk of really hunkering down and making our world small, rather than using intentionality to make our lives full and rich and large. This is a life moment. It can actually be a beautiful life moment if we raise the bar of intentionality. In fact, I've had to do that many times in the course of this week. I've got a new photo update, a new story related to Moose. Every once in a while, I bring Moose back into our storyline here. My 8-year-old lab, chocolate lab, weighs 80 pounds. He's got issues, all kinds of issues. Number one, he's got a social anxiety disorder. So he loves the social distancing thing that we're dealing with right now. But he's also got Addison's disease, which means that his adrenal glands do not produce hormones, and he has to have hormones to live. So every 25 days, we give him a shot. We bring him to the vet, they give him a shot, and they infuse hormones into him so that he can have life anew. Well, wouldn't you know, this past Monday, he needed that shot, but my wife Carrie is in Florida, and you know what happened on Monday? My world changed upside down. I had no time and no margin to deal with my dog on that day. Now, he's got a few days, but I had to raise the bar of intentionality to be sure that I got him there to get that shot so that he could live. And I think it's the same for us. We need to raise the bar of intentionality. We need to be infused with intentional reality about how we step into planning, thinking, and deliberating to make life rich and full in this season. I'm really blessed that we have such a great team here. And I invited Jill and Brian to join me to pick up a couple of these other good choices. The third good choice is to step into this hope of connecting joyfully with kids and family and our friends. So I've asked Jill to share how she's going to do that personally as well as in our ministry. I wanted you to get an update on ministry as well. And we're practicing social distance, but I'm passing the baton to you, Jill.
Thank you. I accept it. I think one of the things that's so important to have our families be joyful during this season is to ask a couple questions. And one of the questions I would first ask is, when you're done with this season, what do you want to look back and what do you want to say about it? And then the other question I think is really important is, when your kids look back, what do you want to hear them say about this season? And I think our desire is for them to say that it was a joyful season, even though it was maybe hard or difficult at times. And I think one of the most important ways to have it be joyful are to have moments when you're just present. There needs to be times when you just set your phone aside, shut off the laptop, turn off the news, and you need to have fun together as a family when you're stuck in your house. A couple things that you can do is have each member of your family decide what it means for them to have fun, and then do it on a night. So maybe it's movie night. Maybe your kids love to build forts, so do forts. Joel, what did you guys do? When the kids were little, you have four.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We did game nights, popcorn nights, sure, on Thursday nights typically. The most fun memory with our kids have to be the pajama runs. All the kids would be in bed and they'd be tucked in. We'd already prayed with them. And then Carrie and I would let the room settle. And after a bit, we would yell, pajama run. And they'd come running downstairs because they always knew that meant we're going to get into the car in our pajamas and we're going to make our way to the Dairy Queen. It was a favorite memory of theirs.
So good. It was a good one. Good. Yeah. Well, in our household right now, a band has formed and it is performing on most nights. And we're going to let you get a sneak peek into my household. So check this one out. Household, because it is fun. Because when our kids look back, we want them to see moments that were joyful and filled with a lot of laughter as well. But the other thing that's so important during the season is to point our kids to the joy maker, to Jesus Christ. We have to remember that our lives have been flipped upside down, but so have our kids. They're used to going to school, seeing their friends and their teachers, and that's not happening right now. And so for some kids, that's really hard and difficult, and some kids, they're doing okay with it. But regardless, we want to have moments where we point them to Jesus, where we're praying with them, for their teachers, for their friends. But here at Westwood, we really want to help you do that well. So you can head to our homepage if you've got kids. You can click on a button right there, and you can participate in what we do here at church on Sunday mornings. And then for our students, every Wednesday night, tonight, we are gathering together at 7 p.m. And then afterwards, they actually go into their small groups. We've even got some pictures for you guys to see from what happened last night. You can see our students were joined together all throughout the Twin Cities here. So you can go to our homepage. You can find all the details there, or you can go to our social media portals as well. But those are just a few ideas to keep your family connected and joyful.
I love it. Good connecting ideas. Encourage you to share your connecting ideas with your neighbors and friends. Help each other seize this opportunity that you have to be together. The fourth way that we can make good decisions in the season is to bless others with love and action. I've asked Brian if he'd give an update of raising the bar of intentionality in your own home, but as well with some of the ministry related to our adult ministries.
Yeah, well, I think there's no opportunity like we have right now to express love in action. Love is such a beautiful and rich word with so many different facets. And one of the most profound is that it really is an action word, something that we get to express. For our own family, we're trying to figure out, like you said, this new normal. And suddenly, like Jill said too, we're just together all the time. And just recently with my kids, I had a conversation around how we can support each other. And it just came that, you know, if we love each other with kindness and with patience, that's one way that we can get it right. Two things that aren't necessarily always easy, but things that we can strive for. Just as a whole at Westwood, I think there's an opportunity here to live into what we say often, that we get to be the church through love and action. Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, "Let your light shine before others and do good deeds, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And right now is a wonderful opportunity to do that. Yes, in our families first, but then the surrounding community. So I want to give you three words that just serve as an anchor for how we can live love in action. And it's prayer, it's care, and it's share. Let me start with the first. These are three things that we can live just in the everyday rhythm of our life, but it's also things that we're giving attention to as a church community. In prayer, God encourages us to pray continuously, in fact, without ceasing. So every wave that we get, every prompter that we have, a person that comes into our minds, we can all be praying and giving to God the needs of ourselves and our families and the world around us. Another thing that we're doing here as a church is we're still available as pastors to care for our church community. And we would love to know how we can pray for you. There's a couple different ways that you can submit prayer requests. One is on our website, westwoodcc.org/prayer. You can submit a prayer request online and we'll lift that up. The other thing that you can do is call our church office. And the number's there on the screen, and you'll be directed through a set of prompters. There's a pastor on call every day, and we'd be glad to come alongside of you and care for spiritual needs. That's prayer. The next is care. There's people all around us right now that have needs, in our homes, in our families, and in our communities and neighborhoods. And we just want to encourage you to be aware of what those needs may be. And again, families, neighborhoods, surrounding community. But we're also responding as a church. Particularly, we've wanted to respond to a part of our community that is the elderly among us, knowing that oftentimes people in those upper age ranges are most vulnerable in the context that we're walking through. And so a team has been put together of both staff members and volunteers who will offer care through the telephone. And so if you'd like to receive that care, we want to encourage you to go to our website. You can find information on how to, or call our church at that same number that you just saw. And if you want to participate in the offering of that care opportunity, do the same thing. You can go to our website or call into the church office. And then the last thing is share. This last week, once all this started, one of my friends here talked about how he grabbed a neighbor and canvassed his neighborhood to get the contact numbers for his close neighbors so that a conversation could start and continue as all of this unfolds. We don't know how this is all going to take shape, but what we wanna do is we wanna be in contact with our neighbors. We can all do that. Walk across the street. Share the love of Christ just simply by asking for a contact number and being in contact and touch with the people who we're with as well. So that's something that we can all do. And then as a church community, we want to respond as well. And on that website, our homepage, you'll find information about how we're putting together and growing what we call the local serve team. In the technologies that God has given us here at Westwood, we're able to do an intake of the needs that are around us and then match that with someone who will respond to that need. And we don't need to get into all the details, but just know that that's on there for you to participate as someone who would serve someone, and then for you to also just share a need that you might have that we can meet over the next stretch of the weeks that are before us as we all seek to get the love thing right, like what we talk about here through love in action, prayer, care, and share.
Good. Thanks, Brian. And it does take us back to our very mission and vision at Westwood, our purpose statement based on the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, that we're blessed to be a blessing. And we always want to be about that, which just a little bit of a heads up coming up to Easter, which is one of those services we extend that blessing as far as we possibly can. But we know we're going to be online all the way through Easter. We've had to adjust our expectations with our team because we've been working on this for a while. But I am so proud of our team, and we're putting together what will be one of the most meaningful resurrection online services that you've ever seen in history, because this is new territory. So I'm proud of our team. Love that we're working together, and you can expect God's blessings to come and flow in and through that opportunity that's before us. The fifth and the final way of making a good choice in this season would be to dip daily into God's bucket of mercy. Zach referenced it earlier in his prayer. I posted a reflection about this on our website and in social media this past week based on Lamentations 3:23, that his mercies are new every day. Great is his faithfulness. And why are his mercies new every day? Because we need his mercies every day. And we find this beautiful promise that he gives us his mercy, which is his love responding to our needs, whatever our needs might be, in unexpected and even unmerited ways. And the beauty of God is he knows your need, whatever it might be. And every day it might be different. He meets that need for what that day is. So we're giving you this invitation to just practice the spiritual discipline. When you get up in the morning and you roll out of bed, roll into a bucket of mercy. Just pretend there's a bucket of mercy, dip right into it, and receive the mercy that God has for you. Our team is working together to put a mercy moment together every morning. So every morning when you arise, a new member of our team will give you a reflection around a quality or a gift that you've been given by God to pay attention to in the day. It will bring lift to your day. It will bring God at the beginning of your day. It will help you throughout your day. So I just encourage you to roll out of that bed, go into that bucket of mercy, and remember not to borrow from today's bucket of mercy for tomorrow's troubles. His mercies are sufficient for the day. Just bring your needs there. He'll meet you there. He's delighted to do so. Well, as we close our time together, can I invite you just to stay present? Don't get up and move around wherever you are. And let's go to the Lord and attend to his presence. Let's be still and know that he is God. A couple ways we can do that. You can just bow your head and close your eyes as we sing and also pray in word. But also you can open your hands if you feel comfortable doing that. It's a posture of receiving from God, all that he wants to give you in this moment. The worship team is going to come and lead us in song and then also in word. Delighted that we can pray together. Take a moment. Just be still in the presence of the Lord. And say to him, oh Lord, your mercies are new every day. Great is your faithfulness.